You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
We are back. The second half of the program is live. A busy, busy first 2 hours. Gary Patterson joining us. Dr. Belk on Juneteenth Day. You heard from Nicole Arabak live from the CFP meeting. It has been a busy week here, and we thought we might reflect for just a moment on some of the guests that have come through here. And we began earlier in the week with Mike Oresko's reaction to the CFP.
Happy, and I think our conference feels very good about what's happened. I got a call from someone who said, good day in the neighborhood, you know, and I think it was, you know, the day this was announced. You know, there's that Churchillian phrase, you know, it's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. I think it's, for us, it's been a long 8 years of struggle to try to, you know, accomplish something, and I think we're poised now to have a real opportunity that we didn't have before.
Mike Oresko, the AAC commissioner, dropping Churchillian phrases. Ross Bjork also joined us. He's the athletic director at Texas A&M, talking about NIL.
Student-athletes are not permissive to use the marks of the institution. Boosters, businesses, the university, we can't use NIL as an inducement to come to A&M. Once they're here, businesses can engage. So there's some guardrails around recruiting. There's guardrails around reporting. And so we have to look and review all of the contracts. They can't conflict with any institutional sponsorship agreement. So there's certain guardrails like that. And again, it's our job to educate our athletes on the do's and don'ts and make sure that they're prepared to engage in these activities if they choose.
We spent a lot of time going to Chicago this week via satellite, and among our guests was Heather Dinich, who covers the CFP for ESPN.
If they agree on the basis of a format, 12 teams, whatever it might be, the next Tuesday in Dallas on June 22nd, they would then present it to the 11 university presidents and chancellors who comprise the CFP's board of managers. Those are the people with the power to change the playoff. But at that point next Tuesday, if the presidents and chancellors give the commissioners green light, it's simply to do more work, to use the summer to figure out more specifics. How do the bowls tie in? All of those things I just spoke about. And then they would come back in September for another meeting, and September is the earliest point. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. These conversations could continue for much longer after September, but September is the earliest point that there could be an official announcement saying, yes, we're going to expand the playoff, here's when, and this is what it's going to look like.
If you haven't heard enough about the CFP, time to hear from Bill Hancock, who is the executive director.
Implementation part obviously is a very important part of this, and the working group intentionally did not get into it. They wanted to put a proposal in front of the management committee that the committee could consider without having the shackles of trying to figure out when to implement it. And the group this week didn't get into implementation time in a significant way. That will come later. The first step is determining whether this new format is even feasible or something that the people on campus want to do. So that implementation, that important implementation matter, is still to be discussed.
So more of your phone calls now on this, and I mentioned we will head out to the College World Series a little bit later in the program. The phone number here is 855-242-7285, and let's hear from J.K., who is up next. Hello, J.K.
How are you doing today, bud?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, let me add my two cents about this playoff situation. I know you're going to cut me off like you always do, but me and you, you know, we cool. But anyway, here you go. The only difference between the BCS and the playoff system is the C in between BCS. Just take the C out and throw it away, and you got the playoff. But, Paul, expanding the playoff is what I've been campaigning for, whether it was 8 or 6 or whatever it was. But 12 teams, all you're doing with 12 teams, you're guaranteeing Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, the usual big money name teams. All you're doing is guaranteeing them a spot, whether they lose 2 games or now with 12 teams, is it going to be they're allowed to lose 3 or 4 games. And the same smaller name schools that don't produce as much revenue or wouldn't produce as much revenue, we're still going to have the same conversation. Will a 1-loss group of 5 team get in over 2 or 3-loss SEC, ACC, et cetera? So, I mean, what is the solution to this? And my idea of a solution is have some criteria that you really go by, because they're not going by that BS criteria that they put out there. You have to be a conference champion, the record, the strength of schedule, win, loss. There is nothing that they're really going by and sticking to it. I hadn't seen it yet.
Well, J.K., you act like this is some secret society here. Alabama has been in the playoff every year but one, and they've deserved to be in there. I mean, there's nothing that this committee has done in a nefarious way. And all this is going to do is include more people. Yeah, it may end up the same 3 or 4 in the finals every year, but so what?
But, Paul, I don't know about a secret society, but if you go by the criteria that was set, how can you put a non-conference, non-division team in the playoff over an undefeated conference champion?
Well, easily, J.K., if you want to listen, you have a committee that theoretically is representative of people around the country, and they examine it. They're not just, all conferences are not equal. You think the Pac-12 conference champion can compute to the number 3 or 4 or 5 school in the SEC? They can't.
But Paul, that's just an opinion.
No, I don't think it really is an opinion. I think knowledgeable football experts would agree. I mean, I'm not just throwing something up against the wall. I want you to tell me right now. You sound like you follow this pretty closely. Which school deserved to be in the Final Four over the last 7 or 8 years that didn't get in?
Paul, you know the answer to that. It's Central Florida.
J.K.
That is
truly one of the most laughable responses I've ever heard.
Okay,
Central Florida did not deserve to be anywhere near the college football playoff. And I mean, if you take away the athletic director, who had a hard time quieting down on the subject, and the sports media down in Orlando that was embarrassingly, there were just a bunch of sycophants. That team was good, but that team would not have been able to stay on the same field with Alabama or Georgia, for that matter, or Oklahoma. Or Clemson.
The same season that you're talking about.
No, and I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me they beat Auburn. They beat a beaten-up, despondent Auburn team that didn't care about the game.
But the same Auburn team beat that same Alabama team.
I am acutely aware. I was at both games. I appreciate the heads up.
I'm just making my point, baby.
No, you're not making a point. You're making a lame argument about UCF. Yeah, it would have been great if UCF had gotten in, but they would have gotten their brains beat in. And frankly, I wish they had gotten in, because Alabama would have beaten them by 4 touchdowns.
Come on, Paul.
There's no coming on about it.
It's just your opinion. That's your opinion, Mike, what might have happened.
Would you mind telling me who UCF beat that forget the Auburn game because that was after the fact. Who did UCF beat that should have earned them a ticket into the CFP?
But why do you want to push the Auburn game to the
You're the one that mentioned Auburn. It because the Auburn game doesn't count. The Auburn game was after the selection committee chose the four teams. That's my point.
Okay, I'm going to tell you who they beat. They beat every team on their schedule,
okay.
And according to the committee, they did what they were supposed to do to get a playoff.
No, they did what they could do to get a New Year's Six game. You think Alabama could have beaten all those schools on their schedule?
But Paul, what other team can go undefeated, be a conference champion, and not get a playoff spot? Can Alabama do that?
Well, if Alabama played in UCF's league, I guarantee you they could have done it.
But Paul, if they go undefeated, what else can they do?
Well, there's nothing else they can do. But it's incumbent upon them to play a better schedule or to beat every team by 50 points.
There we go. And see, there it is again. The schedule. But when you say schedule, don't leave out. Just like this upcoming year, don't leave out the Southern Misses, the New Mexico State, and the Mercers.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
They're part of one of those big school schedule too. So when you leave it,
okay. I tell you what, just for the fun of it, I'm going to go. I looked up their schedule. They beat Florida International. They did win at Maryland. I'll give them credit. It wasn't a very good Maryland team. They beat Memphis in double overtime. They won at Cincinnati. They beat East Carolina, Navy, Austin Peay, SMU, UConn, Temple, and UFC in Memphis again. You think Alabama could have done okay with that schedule? I dare say they would have beaten every team by 40 points. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And don't forget, the College World Series begins tomorrow. NC State Stanford, the first game, that is 2 Eastern on ESPN. And then tomorrow night, Arizona and Vanderbilt, 7 p.m. State and Tennessee will have their first games on Sunday. Let's get back to the calls here. And Andrew is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Paul. Here's my question. So what I don't understand about the college football playoff, and by the way, I'm a big fan, and I feel like I had tenure as a listener. My question is, so it's 12 teams, why not make it 16? Because in my opinion, there's 10 conferences in FBS play. That's 10 conference championships and then 6 at-large bids. And they can go with the committee about how to do that. But why not extend the season 4 weeks? Because the road to the NFL leads through college. And instead of going 13-14-0 and winning a national title, why not be 18-0? And win a national title when you're trying to make the next level anyway. I just want to know what you think about them potentially extending the season.
Well, listen, that's not going to happen. And there are a lot of reasons for it. Whether they're legitimate or not is open to interpretation. Exam schedules, there's only so many, they're sports medicine experts who maintain that, you know, not so much the 21 or 22 year old, but the 16 or not the 16, the 17 or 18 year old are just not prepared to play that. As far as 16, I think it was considered. And the reason why they landed on 12 was this: they determined it was better to have all at large, meaning, not technically. I mean, they said they'll rank the six highest conference champions, and then the rest will be at large. They're trying to avoid automatic qualifiers, and I think some of this was the influence of the SEC, who felt by avoiding automatic qualifiers, go from 8 to 12, that means there's a larger pool to get in from the better conferences. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Let me check in with Mike, who is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. You know, I heard JK's call, and I'm going to have to take his side on this one, Paul. I would rather see a David versus Goliath matchup than an SEC rerun game. I mean, I just think it's more compelling.
Well, first of all, hold on a second. The Alabama-Georgia game was not a rerun. They had not met in the regular season. And second of all, this is not about stagecraft. This is about finding the four best teams. Yeah, it would have been a cool game, but that's not why the selection committee is tasked or has been tasked with identifying the four best teams, not the best matchups.
Well, I was referring to a 12-team playoff scenario where there's obviously going to be a lot of one-loss teams that manage to blow it during the regular season, and there also might be one or two minor conference teams that are conference champions and are undefeated. And I think in the name of sportsmanship, I mean, you know, we'll never see
Mike. Mike, you have to remember that this is not Little League baseball here. Okay.
TV ratings either.
Well,
it's
I don't know.
College football.
Well, in college football, it is about identifying a champion. And, you know, you're looking for the best teams. I mean, you're not looking to satisfy, you know, every league. I mean, I know this is not, it doesn't sound fair, but it's the truth. All leagues are not created equal.
That,
and if you go through the SEC and you lose two games, are you not telling me that's better than what happened over there in the American Conference?
Well, that may be true, Paul. It may be a better brand of football. But in the not-too-distant past, Paul, Troy State beat LSU.
Okay.
Georgia Southern beat Tennessee.
Mike, these games have...
I mean, these things
they have,
happen,
that has,
Paul.
That has
if we don't give them a chance...
Mike, that...
If we don't give
Mike,
these games
enough.
A chance to unfold, we'll never see it.
They have a chance. You just mentioned them. UAB beat LSU. Troy beat LSU.
Yeah.
Louisiana Monroe beat Alabama. They get those chances during the regular season. But those teams, and it's great that they did, and you build your program around them, but that doesn't mean they deserve to be in the playoff for the college football championship.
Well, I don't know, Paul. I love a great Goliath.
Okay, well, I tell you
David
what, I suggest you.
I do. That's why I watch the NCAA tournament.
I'm glad. I suggest you rent Disney Plus this weekend. There's a lot of those type stories that you can watch. Let's talk to Steve, who is in Ohio. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great.
That's great. I know, Paul, I have a few years on you because I'm 82 years old. But
wonderful.
I know you're a UT graduate.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I grew up in a little town in Mississippi. Was a Mississippi State fan, you know, all my life. And I'll never forget it. Maybe I don't know if Tennessee people remember it or not. The 1950 game in Starkville, when we won about three games a year before. Tennessee came in with General Nealon's one of his best teams he ever had. He had Andy Kozar. He had
I remember him.
Hank Larsella and Bert Richeshar, and guy that later played for the Bulls and for the Bears. I mean, was a linebacker. We beat him 6-0. And the commercial appeal that Sunday, because my dad used to get it, headline was, "This was not a joke. Mississippi State beat in Tennessee." That was the only game Tennessee lost that year. Went on to beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and I think they won the SEC. And I wondered if because I know the football is in Mississippi State's where their athletic facility is with that score. And I wonder if Tennessee people ever, be my age to remember it, but remember that game because it was one of the biggest upsets ever in college football.
So, Steve, that was the 50 season. Is that correct?
1950 season.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember now. I wasn't alive, but I mean, I do remember reading about the 51 season was very special. That was the national championship season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah.
But the 50 season, Tennessee was undefeated.
Right.
I think the year before they had beaten Maryland. Or in fact, what happened was it made a little background to it, and I don't want to take all your time, but Mississippi State's coach was a fellow named Morton. Head coach, and he came into Rosedale, where I lived, little town in the Delta, and he said, I'm tired of Bear Bryant getting beat up at Kentucky, and I'm tired of Jim Tatum getting his boys at Maryland. He said, I'm going to go up to that coal mining area, and he got a guy by the name of Joe Fortunato, who later played for the Bears and was a great linebacker and fullback. And he said, I'm going to get some of those Ohio, Pennsylvania boys to come down to Starkville. And we're going to start playing those people. And sure enough, the second game the next year, they played Tennessee. They won the game, and they interviewed Morton. And he said, told you what they're going to do. I'm going to be up there with Bryant, and I'm going to be up there with Jim Tatum. So I don't know. It's just a little bit of, a little bit.
Well, no, that's fantastic. Now, listen, when I went to UT, they were still talking about those 50, 51, 56. I mean, those are the teams that they got all the attention.
And I also remember, I think this was also before your time, when Baylor played Tennessee in the bowl game and Johnny Majors was the star and Baylor beat him.
Well,
and they said, this can't be possible.
No. I do remember that. The reason I remember that, the first time I went in to interview Coach Majors, they told me, whatever you do, don't bring up the Baylor game, because I think he fumbled at the end of the game. And
he did.
And I couldn't resist. And I said, Coach, I said, everybody, I mean, I was just, I said, everybody tells me I can't talk. He said, well, I'll talk about it. I mean, I think his quote was something like, yeah, every once in a while you burn the bacon. And he remembered it. This was in 77 when I was interviewing him.
I don't know if you remember Mr. W.H. Crump.
Well, the stadium?
Crump Stadium.
I was there as a little kid. I remember my dad took me there.
Well, they had, when we'd go to Memphis to visit, they had the billboards in Memphis said, do not blow your horn in Memphis. Mr. Crump does not want you to do that. Well, when I went to the Sugar Bowl with my parents, when Ole Miss played Georgia Tech, back then it was like 52. 53, and I got on the elevator at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans, and this man looked like Colonel Sanders, and it was W.H. Crump.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, boy, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Roosevelt, Mississippi. He said, well, a good friend of mine who at that time was the head of the House of Representatives in Mississippi was Walter Sillars. He says, you tell Walter Sillars that us Ole Miss graduates, we don't like to lose, and we're not going to lose today. So I thought that's...
Steve, is this the guy that was always referred to as Boss Crump?
That's the one.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
he said to me, Paul, he said, boy, what do you think of Memphis? And I said, well, I didn't know who it was. And I said, Mr. Crump, I think everybody should be allowed to blow their horn in this. I like this boy. He said, this boy can stand up to Boss Crump. He can stand up to anybody.
That's hilarious. No,
that's a long time ago, Paul.
Yeah, no. I've read a book about him when I was in high school, and this is one of the most famous politicians of that era. Hey, thank you, Steve. What a pleasure to talk to you.
You're welcome.
That was fantastic. I
watch your show all the time, and it's great watching you. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day.
Thank you, Steve. You too. You take care of yourself. We will take a break.
Thanks,
more to come. We are coming back with much more, more phone calls and to talk about the College World Series coming up next.
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We will head out to Omaha a little bit later and talk to Tom Hart. Let's check out Chris right now. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you very much. Good to have you on.
Paul. I started listening to you in 2001. My boss used to walk past my office and ask who I was listening to. I tell him Feinbaum, and he said, "I hate that guy."
I like to hear
every
that.
Every time I wasn't fond of my old boss, so I've been listening to you ever since.
Well, you made a good decision. Sometimes you just need a new boss.
That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, I was calling about the gentleman that was calling the poor, pitiful UCF earlier. Paul, it's my understanding that teams schedule out 3 or 4 years in advance. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, oftentimes, Chris, longer than that.
Right. So how many years ago was UCF relevant when they played Auburn and beat them in the bowl game? How many years ago was that?
It was the 2017 season, Chris.
So has their schedule changed since then? If they thought they were a relevant playoff team, have they done anything to add to their schedule that would say they want to be a playoff team by winning?
Well, I think in fairness, they've tried. I think they tried to get a game with Florida. They have put some other games on the board. But the problem is that I think they have a big game this year. I can't remember. Maybe Boise. But, I mean, ultimately, that one game is not going to be enough for them. And,
right.
And you know, you're going to be judged primarily by the conference that you play in. Unless you get a game with a Georgia, Alabama, Florida, or someone like that, which yeah, I think they are going to have a hard time getting that game.
Right. Well, if you get a game like that, not necessarily a Georgia or an Alabama, or someone in the SEC, a bigger, you know, Texas A&M, someone like that, and you beat them along with the rest of your schedule, now you have a conversation.
You're right. Listen, I don't want to beat up on UCF. They've got a really good program down there, tremendous fan base. But I hated even engage the guy a few minutes ago because that it's such a lame conversation. It's over. And a lot of what I think turned people against them was their peacocking. And it came from their athletic director. It came from people in the media. And I think for those of us who were at the championship game that year, and everywhere we went, there was somebody from Orlando, you know, popping off. I mean, it just became a little bit over the top. And, you know, I mean, I realize you can't blame a school for its you can if the athletic director is doing all the talking. But ultimately, it just became a very awkward situation. And I know a lot of people from the CFP were getting sick of it as well, because Alabama and UCF were not equal teams. Alabama opened the door when they lost to Auburn, which lost to Central Florida. But in the end, it wasn't a fair comparison. And quite frankly, I remember being with Scott Frost in Atlanta. We were on an ESPN show together, and he was not doing the. I think he'd already taken the Nebraska job, but he was very low key about it. He understood, having come from Nebraska, what the rest of college football was about. Hey, thank you for the call, and that would be my final comment, because we could spend the rest of our lives relitigating that conversation, and quite frankly, it is not worth it. Stephen is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Stephen. Go right ahead.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Paul, how you doing, buddy? Back on May the 17th, I remember it because it was my birthday week, I called in about this time of the day to talk about Tim Tebow and Baptist, and then after that, some guy from Jason from Florida called in, and y'all made a pretty good sport of me, but, you know, it's kind of fun. But in the meantime, there has been a New Yorker piece about the Baptist and about 20 other pieces looking at critical race theory and the right wing of the Republican Party. Tim Tebow's name didn't come up, but his former church, or maybe still his church, First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, his mother was the Eagle Forum Woman of the Year about 2018. In Alabama, last week, the big news was they joined with the right-wing Alabama Policy Institute to denounce critical race theory, which was a big subject all last week when the Baptists met in Nashville. So the boy Jason, like the Randy Newman song, it turns out, as I expected, didn't know his hiney from a hole in the ground on this whole subject. So, you know, it's still there's still a story out there, and I just want to call you back and let you know that the New Yorker, the
Washington you know, I did read that, and I appreciate your update. I mean, you know, what's interesting about Tebow is, from what I hear, he's done a really good job in camp, and that's not getting any attention. The only thing that got attention were all the critics out there. Let's continue with more phone calls here and check in with Danny, who is up next. Hey, Danny, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, first-time caller, long-time listener. Lifetime Alabama fan. It's college football playoff. Everybody's thinking big issue at it. I'm for the 12 teams, but I think the playoff board ought to put some rules in place. No two-loss team ought to ever make playoff. That's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth.
Well, Danny, listen, the one thing about this, and it makes college football so great, is everyone has an opinion on this. And what makes it difficult is that the people that are making the decisions are not listening, I don't think, to any of our opinions.
No, they're not. Well, that's just my opinion. What was it, 2 years ago they let Oklahoma, or was it Ohio? One of them had two losses going into it. There's other teams. The regular season ought to mean something. If a team goes 11-0, they deserve a shot to get in there. If a team goes 8-2 or 9-2, and there's another team 11-1, they should be eliminated. But that's my opinion.
Well, Danny, I appreciate you sharing it, and you take care of yourself, my friend. We are up against a break. We are continuing with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll head to Omaha in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and next hour we will head out to Omaha. We'll also talk a little Tennessee football with a former Tennessee player from Nashville. Let's get back to the calls here, and where am I? Sometimes you look down and you see a bunch of names and they all bleed together. How about James up next? Hey, James.
Paul, it's another Friday.
It is. How about that?
I'm listening to your program, as I do periodically. And I just wonder, what do these people want? I hear one guy, and his emphasis is undefeated season. But we're not considering strength of schedule. It matters who you play. I mean, I understand if you got two losses, then there's got to be 12 teams out there or 11 teams that are better than you, and you probably don't need to be in there. But, again, it matters who those losses are to and when during the season those losses occurred. It's not just aesthetics. But let's just say you're Florida and you manage to be better than Georgia this year or 2 years from now when this 12 thing comes up. And that's another thing. We're talking this thing so much. In 2 years, we will be – I mean, but if Florida manages to beat Georgia when this thing comes up and – they face Alabama, and they lose to Bama in the SEC championship, and those are their two losses. Don't you think they're better than a team that's got a strength of schedule that's, say, 50?
Well, it's true. I mean, but, you know, the 12-team playoff is going to help the UCFs of the world, and they would have gotten in that regard, but it is still difficult to compare and contrast, as you said.
Here's what I'm going to stay with. Recruit better, coach better, play better. It's like you told the guy that's, I mean, clearly he was not satisfied with 12. I think he was TK, JK, I'm not sure, and excuse me for getting that wrong. But when, look, 5 foot, 3 100-pound nose guards don't play high school football, and there's a reason for that. Okay? 5'9", 160-pound running backs don't play college football. If they do, they are Lionel Train James. Okay? And I think Lionel was like 5'7", but there hasn't been one like him since the 80s. I am just at a loss for what people want. I think some people want college football to be the NFL, which we already have, the Shield. And college football does not need to be college basketball. We already have a 69-team playoff. And when college football starts every year, when college basketball starts every year, and you know that the March Madness is in the wings. Who watches college basketball in November?
Nobody.
It's on every network.
And by the way, James, the college basketball season is going to be hurt even more because there were a few weekends in December when they had big matchups, and now when the playoff is expanded, that's just going to lock down one more weekend where there is prime time college football, and the basketball games are going to be even more irrelevant than they already were. I mean, college basketball is getting hit. It is essentially now about a six, seven-week season, and that's too bad. It's a great sport.
And Paul, the dude that was calling a while ago for an 18-game college football season, I mean, look, I don't blow a lot of smoke or pour too much down my own horn or blow my own horn to keep somebody from pouring anything down it. But I've had a football helmet on my head, okay? And some of these people that think those kids are able to play 18 games.
No, that's no way. Hey, thanks for the call. We are coming back with one more hour.